All right, thank you for that. We are in the book of Hebrews tonight, chapter number 4. Thank you for being here. So we are going with our theme about being disciples, making disciples. On Sunday night, we're just teaching some topical messages that would be, I guess, to me, under the category of living discipleship, qualities or so forth, things that we need to understand that will help us to live a life of discipleship. And we've talked about many different ones. And I want to look at one tonight. A couple of years ago, the kids had me watch a show with them. It was about people that could not cook. Okay, like worst cooks ever. And they weren't kidding. There was some bad food going on there. I do know this about food. If you're going to make something, you have to have the right ingredients. Okay? If something is off, it doesn't taste good. Several years ago when Allison was still, I shouldn't have said her name, Allison was living at home, the girls would take turns cooking dinner, and she made this dinner one night, and it was orange chicken pasta. Now, I had a problem with that up front. I'm not an orange chicken guy. But I thought, okay, you know, it's I'll deal with it. And I had it down there. And I think it might have been a night when a couple of the kids weren't there. But I was sitting there and I'm like, you know, as a dad, you're trying to be encouraging. It's like, this doesn't taste good. I'm thinking, it's bad. But I'm like, how do you say anything? I got the first plate. Emily was about 5. And Allison walked by and Emily said, "This is awful." And Allison took a bite and she concurred. I don't know what happened. I think that she got two different recipes somehow mixed together. There is no such thing as orange chicken pasta. It was bad. We went to Taco Bell, okay? It's like, you know, that was, honey, thank you for that. That's great. Can you put this in the trash? Thanks. Hey, let's go. Why don't we all go out and get something to eat, okay? You got to have the right ingredients. You got to have the right food. If you don't have the right ingredients, it's not going to taste good. That's why, by the way, how many of you have ever done keto? Our family's done it. By the way, keto desserts don't work because you can't have sugar. My wife has tried, like, I found a new recipe. This is going to taste good. Okay, it's bad. Not that she doesn't know how to cook. You can't, look at it, just, this should be in the Bible somewhere. You can't make something sweet without sugar. It doesn't work. And then she tried bread, and I'm like, you've got, you know, if the bread's like that thick and it's like a hockey puck, it's not bread. You got to have the right ingredients. If you don't have the right ingredients, the food's not going to taste very good. Now, where am I going with that? I'll get to that in a minute. Because there's a key ingredient we have to have if we're going to live as Christians successfully and get the rest that they're talking about here in chapter 4. And I'll get to that in a second. Hebrews is a book that, you know, it's not one of the easier New Testament books, but if you read it, you can understand it. It's not like the book of John, but really the concept of Hebrews is teaching that Jesus is just better. It talks about Jesus being better than the angels. It talks about Jesus being better than the Old Testament law. It talks about Jesus being better than the animal sacrifices and all of those different things. When we get to this chapter, by the way, there's a lot of Old Testament references to teach New Testament truths. And so as we get to chapter 4, he's giving the illustration about how the Israelites missed out on the rest that God wanted them to have. You know, the Israelites never, ever did quite get to where God wanted them to get to. They never did quite experience all that God wanted them to experience. It seems like they would just about get there, and then they would do something goofy, or they would do something wrong, and they would lose it. And God does not want us to lose the rest he has for us. By the way, we ought to be thinking in our own lives that it would be a fearful thing to miss out on what God has for each and every one of us. Verse 1, he says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, we fear a lot of things, don't we? I mean, everybody's all, and I'm not telling you to be, put yourself in danger. Everybody's all afraid of the coronavirus, and you can't buy water at Costco, and I don't understand why they need 7,000 rolls of toilet paper. Okay. And now, by the way, I just heard bad news. Brother Chim told me, no, they're going to take away the samples out of Costco. I ain't going. My wife's going to Costco and says, you want to come? It's like, yes, I want the free samples. Of course, go shop and don't buy anything ridiculous. I'll be over here eating the, you know, dinosaur-shaped asparagus. I'm in. Okay, count me, sign me up. Now I don't have a reason to go. But we fear certain things we shouldn't fear. But there are some things we should fear. We ought to fear coming short, not quite getting to where God wants us to be in our life. To come short of, he calls it, the rest that God has for us. Now, there's two types of rest we get. We get an eternal rest. When we trust Jesus Christ, heaven is now secure in our future. Thank God for that. And that's going to be an eternal rest. But there's an earthly rest we have on this life as we live for God. And that is a result of our obedience to God. That's what Canaan represented. It was called the Promised Land. God had promised it to them and said, you're going to come here. And if you'll do what I tell you to do, you will experience all of these good things which would bring them rest. Now, life isn't always perfect, but I can say this, we can avoid most of the drama that we happen to allow into our lives if we would just do the things God would tell us to do. So often we have drama or problems in our life that are a result of we're just not entering into the rest that God has for us. The spiritual rest we find in Christ after salvation, if we surrender our lives and our will to him. By the way, Israel initially experienced that. Now, they did not experience when they came out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt, they should have experienced that. It should have been 11 days to get from Egypt to the Promised Land. It took them 40 years, and everybody over 18 died. Why? Because they were disobedient. They didn't experience the rest. But then the group that was over 18, they did experience the rest that God had for them. Verse 2, for unto us, of chapter 4, was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. He says, they heard the same word we're hearing, and they didn't get everything they should have got. Now, initially, it seemed like they got it, but because they didn't do what they were supposed to do, they failed at it. That's the warning for us. God wants us to enter his rest. Verse 11, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Look at all the things that happened to the, when you read the law books and you read through once they got into the Promised Land, you go to Joshua and then you start going through. It's like, hey, sometimes it was great victory. Sometimes God did amazing things. Other times God didn't do anything and God brought judgment on them. Why? They didn't enter into his rest. They didn't do the things they were supposed to do so God could act on their behalf. They missed out on victory over their enemies. They missed out on the rest of a godly life. They missed out on rest in their families. Even David and Solomon, two of the good kings, because they didn't completely do what God told them to do, they had some drama in their lives. They missed out on the rest. They missed out on that rest of a relationship with God and the prosperity that God wanted them to have. Now, what about us? God wants us to have that rest. And thank God, God doesn't leave us hanging out to dry when it comes to, well, what's? See, maybe I'm a little analytical. I want to know what it takes. You know what I'm saying? Someone says, hey, you can get this. It's like, where's the instructions? What do we got to do? Lay it out for me. Boom, 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 boom. Do this and you get this. Anybody else like that? Okay, now my wife's not like that. My wife's like, it'll all work out in the end, brother. We'll just go do it. Okay, that's not me. okay, give me a list, tell me what we got to do, and we'll do it. What's the instructions? These are incomprehensible. Okay, so we went to when we went up to the pastor's conference, we rented an Airbnb, and they gave us these detailed instructions. It was weird. You had to go through a security gate. We had to find building two. Then we had to take building two down to the second, and they gave us pictures every step of the way. And I'm looking at it was great. The picture here, yep, I'm in the right spot. Take a left picture, yep. Until we got, and then we had to go down to the second floor parking garage, and it said look for the lockbox. There was just one really small problem. The lockbox was in the parking for building three, and it was security gated. That wasn't in the picture. Until then, the picture was perfect, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do? You can't scale it. I mean, it's like, fortunately, they were under construction, so I was able to crawl in and break into parking lot three. And I'm like, your instructions were great. You had pictures, and I followed it to the T until we got down to the parking garage, and then everything got derailed. I didn't like that. I want instructions. Tell me how it works. Give me pictures. That's why I like IKEA. It's like in a foreign language. You can't pronounce the name of the furniture you get, but they give you pictures. Now I'm going to give you the picture tonight. God's telling us how we can enter into his rest. Now, there are three ingredients. I'm going to give them to you tonight, but I'm going to give you the key missing ingredient in all of it. And if you don't get it, your life's going to be like my daughter's orange chicken pasta. Not good. Number one, the first ingredient. You're going to, oh, this is so simple. Okay, well, let's work it. The word. Ingredient one is the word. Simple. I like simple, by the way. That's why our giving portal is called Simple Give. At the house, the first security system I installed was Simply Safe. I like simple. It's very simple. It's the word. God made it very clear and easy to us. God's plan for us to have rest in our lives starts with his word. Look at verse 2. He presents the word to us. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. In his illustration of the mistakes that the Israelites made, he informs us that we have the same opportunity they have because we're getting the same word of God they got. Now, I understand they had a limited, but they got the word of God that they needed for their time. And it's like, we're getting that same word of God that we need for our time. So he presents it to us. We have the same opportunity that we have. And fact of the matter is, if you want to, and you want to argue with me, that's fine. We may have a better opportunity because we have the whole entire complete word of God. We got everything. And so the word of God is right there. He presents it to us. Everything is right there in his word. But there's a catch to it. We must actively and purposely place ourselves under the word of God. We have to. It's not just enough to own a Bible. It's not just enough to come to church. We've got to actively be the kind of person, whenever we open the Bible, whenever we hear it taught, whenever we hear it preached, where it's like, Lord, what do you have for me? Is there some reminder you have? Is there something I need to recalibrate in my life? Is there something I'm missing? What can I get that will help me? The Word of God is well, I just don't know the Bible. Let me explain this to you. The ignorance of the Word is no excuse. We don't live in a country where the Word of God is inaccessible. You live in America, it's very accessible. If you're like most Christians in this country, you probably have more than one Bible. I mean, I own several Bibles. I've got the Bible on my phone. I've got the Bible on my iPad. I got the Bible on my computer, okay? It's there, it's accessible. We've got to willingly access it and get it into our life. Ignorance of the word, or like they say, ignorance of the law is no excuse. The word's presented to us all the time. And if it's not being presented, it's because we're not placing ourselves under there. But once we place ourselves under there, we have a responsibility to get the word of God and to receive it. How do we do that? You know, we have to read it. You say that all the time. Okay, there's probably a reason. Because most Christians don't. You're never going to be a disciple if you don't read the Word of God. You don't. You've got to make it an active, important, vital piece of your life. I'm just telling. And not just some casual, you know, most of us read the Bible like we pray when we were kids. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's cute. It means nothing. Okay? It's just rote. That's how most of us are. We either don't read it, we read it inconsistently, or when we do read it, we get nothing out of it. By the way, I would encourage you, and you hear me say this, and I've heard it for years, and I thought, this is something, I don't want to say it, it sounds whatever they want to call it. You know, that's what ladies do. They have to journal. Today I had breakfast. It was good. I looked at my butter. My butter reminded me of the grace of God as it melted over my life. Okay, But you know, what I've done, Brother Ross, I like to read my Bible and I take I make myself give a thought for the day. And not just God got upset and killed a bunch of people. Although sometimes I read it like, man, they had it coming, okay? But I like to think it through. By the way, that's helped me to sit there and think through a thought, and I see things I didn't see before, some little phrase, and I'll get hooked on it. I'm like, I didn't catch that. God's doing something there. And think it through. God's Word. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, talk to somebody. Brother Ross will buy you one. Brother Bichardo, he runs the bookstore. He'll give you one. At a good price. Get yourself a schedule. I don't care what you have to do. By the way, we are so haphazard about reading our Bible, but we always get our coffee. I was going to see eat breakfast, but if you're like me, I don't eat breakfast. I mean, if something special is going on, I'm at my mother-in-law's house, I'll eat breakfast. But I usually don't eat breakfast, but I have my coffee every morning, Brother Grandy. I do. Don't miss it. It's one of the best vitamins you can take. Okay? But you know what? I don't want to miss my Bible. You know? And so let's make sure that we're making that important by reading it. And I will say this, by hearing it. I didn't say this, God said it. God wants us to hear preaching. God wants us to hear teaching of the Bible. God wants us, as we're reading the Bible and we're learning it on our own and we're hearing the preaching and we're hearing the teaching, as you grow and as you hear more of it, it all starts to fit together. It all starts to make sense. The pieces of the puzzle started to fall into place. I encourage you, and your Sunday night, be to all the services and be faithful to it. Don't miss so easily. It's easy to miss, isn't it? It is. It's like, you know, my dog's sick. Well, that's probably a good thing, okay? But, you know, my cat, you shouldn't have a cat. That's a problem. You know, or you know, someone's having their 75th, okay. But we always think of, let's be faithful. By the way, go to your adult Sunday school class, okay? Find your class and be a part of it. Be a part of a group of people and get to know some good godly Christians that will encourage you and help you in your faith. By the way, we have an ongoing Bible Institute. I'm very excited. We have 50 to 60 people there every Thursday night before the service. And I encourage you, jump in. If you miss this one, we have 12 rotating classes. And get in on that. It's an encouragement. But we hear it. We hear it. Okay? So we see the words presented. We see also that the word was profitable. Continuing in verse 2. But the word preached, here's four key words, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So the word was presented to them, but the word didn't profit them at all. Profitable means to help gain an advantage, to make a profit. A profit means we get more out of it than we put into it. Isn't that good? You read your Bible, you're going to get a lot out of it, but you got to put some time into it. But I guarantee you, you're going to get a lot more out of it than you put into it. It's profitable in our life. But it wasn't profitable to them. So if it says the word that was preached to them did not profit them, that means therefore if you flip the statement, it was. The opportunity was there for the word of God to be profitable. They just did not take advantage of that opportunity. See? Sometimes we look at our lives, we look at what's going on, like, boy, God could never do that in my life. I see what he's doing in other people's lives, and God could not do that in my life. Yeah, he can. There's no difference. The difference is you're not allowing God's word to be profitable in your life if that is true. And if God is working in their life, that's because they are allowing God's word that is presented to them to be profitable. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And then he mentions a bunch of things. It's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is proper teaching, proper beliefs. You know why we don't understand what we believe as Christians? Because we don't understand our Bibles. And so we listen to some person on the internet, we listen to some person on the radio, and they'll say something goofy, and we don't understand. You know why? Because we've not been in the Bible, so we don't understand things. What we should believe is right there. The Bible is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Reproof tells us what's wrong in our lives. By the way, nobody likes that. How many of you like to be told when you're wrong? I don't. Well, it doesn't happen. I'm never wrong. I'm kidding. I'm married. I know what's wrong in my life. It's presented to me. But it tells us it's reproof. By the way, all of us need that, don't we? Sometimes people come in and say, hey, you were preaching at me. I'm like, the speakers are pointed at me too. I get it. Okay? It's for all of us. For correction, what's correction? What to do to get my life right? Hey, reproof, this is what's wrong. You need to correct this area. This is what you need to correct. This is how you can correct it. Instruction in righteousness, how to have a godly life. Teaching us to be righteous. For instruction that the man of God, and this is for all of us really, may be perfect. That means, no, perfect means mature. You can be a mature Christian. How? Word of God. Learning the word of God, letting it be a part of your life. Thoroughly furnished. You know what thoroughly furnished means? Having all your parts, you're complete. You go to your house, my house is, you say my house is now completely furnished. You have everything you need in that house. Your Christian life ought to be thoroughly furnished, everything you need. That comes from the word of God. Unto good works, how you can serve God. So the Bible is profitable. It tells us everything that we need. But the good part is it's also powerful. Look down at verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is quick. Quick means living. It's alive and powerful. It's effective and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and to the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents. You know what the word of God is? Just, it's sharp on both sides and it just cuts to the quick. It gets down to the problems. It gets down to what we need to change. It gets down to what we need. It just gets right there. That's good for us. By the way, if you can read your Bible or be in church and hear it preach and never hear anything that goes against the grain, I'd like to meet you. You're perfect. You're the opposite. Thank you. Okay? Listen. The Bible gets right down to it. We have a living word that is able to precisely cut to our problems and effectively promote change, which results in a life of rest. Someone has some type of tumor in their life, their body, they got to get it out. What, the surgery's to hurt them? No, it's to help. Gets right to where the problem is at. That's the word of God. So ingredient number one is the word. Ingredient number two, this is like, oh man, you're not even being creative tonight. Pray for me. Ingredient number two is obedience. Okay? You say, wait a minute, that's point one. It's almost 6 o'clock. Point three is really short. Okay? It kind of ties it all together. It won't be long. It's obedience. The word of God is the manual for our Christian life. It's really the manual for life in general. But it's no good if we don't follow it. Right? Guys, we are notorious. Now, I've got over this. I don't like to read it. I force myself. But we don't like when we're putting things together to read the instructions. How many of you like that? Okay. The rest of you need to check your hormones or something. Whenever you're putting something together, it's like the first thing, you open up the box, the first thing at the top, usually, unless it's some rotten company, there's the instruction manual, and it'll usually say this, read this first, And I'm thinking, I don't have time. I got to put this together. And then you put it together wrong, and it's like, I wish I would have had time to read the instructions. We don't like that because we don't want to follow them. I'll figure it out. How hard is it? It's only 500 pieces. And then you put it together, and it squeaks, and they've got 10 extra pieces. It's like, hey, they gave us some extra pieces. That's not how it works. Do you know the Bible is the instruction manual for life, and it does us no good if we don't follow it? Well, I know, and by the way, sometimes we memorize, I know what the Bible says. I know what the instruction manual says. Do you do what it says? So that's a hard part for all of us, right? I know what it says. I heard it. But are we doing it? Obedience is required. It's an inquired ingredient. The children of Israel struggled because they didn't obey. You know, God just laid it out for them. Here's what he said. Here's what I expect you to do. If you do it, blessing, victory over your enemies, your crops will be great. Everything will be good. It'll be wonderful and fantastic. Don't obey it. Everything's bad. Drought, famine. You're going to lose to your enemies. Life's going to be a hassle. Choose you this day. What do you want? What do you want? It's simple. That's the same choice we have today. You look at the children of Israel, I won't spend time at it, but if you look in Exodus, 3 days after they got out of Egypt, they started griping. 3 days. That party ended fast. 3 days. We should go back to Egypt. Things aren't working. 3 days. That's how we are. You go to Judges. They get in the land. Joshua dies. Right back to the drama. Right back to the nonsense. That's what happens to us. We are more educated in the word than our obedience level to the word. We know more than we do. And that ought not to be so. We ought to strive to do. If we're not careful, we fall into this trap of thinking just because we come to church, we own a Bible, we hear the Bible, we occasionally read the Bible, that we're okay. That's a lie we tell ourselves. And it's just not true. Everything comes down to this. Are you going to do what he says? Okay? That's what we ought to strive to do. And the children of Israel did not do that, and the children of Israel struggled. James says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So there's a lot of people, they crack open their Bible, they read a chapter and say, done for the day. Let me check that off the list. I came to church, I heard it. Let me check that off the list. I heard someone preach a long time ago. I'm not being critical. Everybody can have their own thought. But he said, listen, if someone just comes and hears preaching and they don't go home and ever listen, they're better off because it's like a spaghetti strainer. The water goes through. They didn't retain any of the water, but hey, at least the strainer's clean. That's not what the Bible says. Bible says be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. God doesn't bless you just for coming to church. God blesses you when you hear something from God and you seek to make it a part of your life. God does not just bless you for reading the Bible. God blesses you when you read the Bible to understand what it's saying and make it a part of your life. That's obedience. It's a required ingredient. Jesus said it. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I tell you? Hey, Lord, you're my Lord. He goes, you're not listening. I'm not your Lord. And so it's required, but it's also a restful ingredient. Verse 11. Let us therefore enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. After he reads through all of it and he tells them what to do, he goes, hey, you know what you ought to do? You ought to strive, make it a goal in your life to have that kind of life where you have the rest, where you have a life that's following God and God's trying to do something in your life and you're doing it to the best of your ability to follow him, and that ought to be your goal. Don't be like they are and fall. I don't know about you, fall doesn't sound good. You don't ever be, I fell in love. Fall, to trip, to hurt oneself. Okay, I didn't fall in love, I decided to love. Okay? Now it was a leap of faith, amen. But you don't fall. You fall. that to be thrust downward, to leave the place of prosperity that God had for them. So God says, if we're going to have this kind of life, if we're going to have this restful kind of life, we have to obey. Look, two people can own the same Bible. Two people can crack open the same Bible. Two people can sit side by side in the same church for 5, 10, 15 years. Two people can go to our Christian school. Two people can go to our Bible college. Two people can teach a Sunday. You name it. And one of them experiences nothing but trouble and drama in their Christian life, and the other one experiences a lot of blessing. What's the difference? One seeks to obey God, not just fulfill a role. And we have to fulfill a role, but you know what? We do it in obedience. So number one is the word. Number two is obedience. And then, give me a couple minutes, we'll be done. The third and the most important one is faith. Faith. Look at verse 2. Here's the real problem. For unto us was the gospel preached, the word presented, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? They did not obey it. But why did they not obey it? What are the next five words? Not being mixed with faith. They made a cake without eggs. They made a keto dessert. They didn't use sugar. That's why it looks bad and it tastes worse. I'm just being real here. And I know, you know, I have this keto dessert. Oh, stop it. Okay. They had the word. They understood obedience. But the word that they had did not lead to obedience because they didn't have the third ingredient, the most important ingredient, which was faith. Faith was the ingredient that took the word of God and married it to obedience. And if you don't have faith, you'll never obey the word of God. You won't. You'll hear it, but you will not obey it. That's what happened to them. God took them out of Egypt. God did all these miraculous things and said, get into the land and do what I tell you to do, and everything will go well. And they didn't mix what he told them to do with faith, so they didn't obey him long term. They didn't do it. That's the reason. The reason they didn't obey and why we don't obey is because the ingredients of the word is not mixed with faith to produce the ingredient of obedience, which results in rest. Israel's problem was a lack of faith. Verse 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, willful disbelief, a lack of faith, an opposition to divine will. Let me boil it down for you. 12, I don't know the song. I didn't sing it because I didn't grow up in Sunday school. But 12 men went to Canaan. 10 were bad. And 2 were good. The trip into Canaan for the spies was not to see, can we do this or not? It was to say, the land's good. The fruit's good. The party's coming. Let's get ready to go. But you know what they said? There were some really big dudes there. These guys, their tattoos had tattoos. I mean, these guys were like, bang. Okay, God had already taken care of that, did he not? Did he not say, listen, you're gonna go into the land and I'm gonna have these guys wiped out before you even come in? By the way, was that not true? 40 years later, when the spies went to Rahab's city, Jericho, they said, we heard of you and we're petrified. That was 40 years ago that happened. And for 40 years, they were scared to death that the children of Israel were gonna come, and they believed they were gonna get beat, but the children of Israel are like, the dudes are too big. Because they didn't believe that God would actually do what he said, so they didn't obey. That's our problem. We have the word of God. We know the word of God. And we sit here and we're, you know what? Yeah, I believe the word of God, and God says do this. It's like, okay, but I just think my way is a better way. I don't think if I do what God says that it's going to really turn out the way God says. Let me just tell you something. It will. That's faith. Who was it this morning? Brother Chin was talking about the offering. And he said, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that if I give money to the church, that I can make it better on less money. But that's faith. It doesn't make sense that the way to have the life that I really want is to give up my life and follow God's will. That doesn't make sense. It's faith. And we don't have faith, and we really don't believe that God has our best interests at heart. And so we don't obey. We have the word. The word needs to be activated by obedience. But if we really don't believe that God's word will really produce what it says, we're not going to obey it. As some of you young singles, if I give in to God, I'm going to be a missionary in Antarctica, and I don't want to go there. Can I just tell you something? Nobody lives in Antarctica. I don't want to go either. But you think God is going to send you somewhere you're going to hate. You think God's going to give you some job or some ministry that you're going to hate. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says if I follow God, he'll give me the desires of my heart. The things I have in my life will be the things that are just right for me. We look all around us and society tells us, do your own thing. It's kind of the American way, right? Do your own thing. Bible says follow God. Everything you're looking for in life, and most of it really, if you wrapped it all up, joy. You just think joy is found in money, job, blah, blah, blah. Everything you're looking for in life is found in obeying Jesus Christ. But you have to believe that you'll get to where he wants you to be. You know, we get up all the time and say, man, the best life you can ever live is the Christian life. We talked about the vine and the branch this morning. If you just abide in Christ, you'll have fruit in your life. And it's like, I don't get that. It takes faith. And you'll hear the word, and you won't obey it because you really don't have faith that God will do what's best for you, that God's way is best. And people, we got to get past that, or we're not going to obey. If not, and I'm done, we have smorgasbord, we used to call them smorgasbord, it's really buffet, smorgasbord Christianity. For years, for about a year when I was in high school, I worked up on 60th and Cherry up by there, Heidi's smorgasbord. And it was a buffet, and they let me eat, and I got my tray, and I walked, and I'm like, asparagus. I like asparagus, but when I'm at a buffet, I'm not eating asparagus, okay? Mashed potatoes, my favorite vegetable, boom. Okay, and pizza, whatever. I only got the food I liked. The stuff I looked at, like, no, I don't like that. I'm not getting it. That doesn't look good to me. By the way, there was some stuff I was younger I wouldn't eat that actually I eat now. It is good. So we bring that to Christianity because we don't have faith. You know, well, I'm kind of in on that. Yeah, I'll take that. Oh, no, not that one. No, no, no. Faith. Let me ask you, is your life a life that's committed to obedience to God? To finding out what the word says and obeying God. If you struggle with that, it's a lack of faith. You really don't believe that following God is the best life you can live. And it is. And when you believe it, you'll just have this attitude. Oh, that's what the Bible says, I'm in. That's what God wants, I'm in. I don't have to understand all of it. I just understand God said it, let's go. And let's do it. Let's stand this evening.